Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope it encourages you to live and love like Jesus.
It is Mother's Day, and I hope that all of us know that this is not just an opportunity to celebrate our mothers and women in our immediate families, but really it's an opportunity for us to celebrate all the women in our lives who have helped to shape and mold us into who we are today. And I want us to remember that women have always been leaders in our faith. We see them throughout Scripture, from Deborah, Ruth, and Naomi, to Elizabeth, to Mary, the mother of Jesus, to Mary Magdalene, to the Samaritan woman at the well, to Martha and Mary, to the woman whom Jesus allowed to anoint him even when the disciples said she was wasting her perfume, to Phoebe and Junia and Priscilla, who led the early church. Women have always been a part of leading in our faith. And Jesus consistently lifted the voices of women, first sending the good news of the gospel out into the world by the voice of a woman. And so today, I hope that each of us can take the time to celebrate and to thank the women who have helped to shape us and mold us and who continue to do so. Whether we call them mom or aunt or pastor or friend, I hope that we can do that. And so in that spirit, and knowing that for many, Mother's Day is not always a joyful celebration, that for some it brings pain and struggle, reminders of grief and challenge, I hope that we can share together in this prayer with a spirit that's mindful of both those who are celebrating and those who may be struggling and grieving. So let us pray together for those who have shaped us. Holy and almighty God, we give thanks this morning for the women who have helped to form us, who have cared for us, for those whom we call mother, grandmother, aunt, sister, teacher, mentor, pastor, nurse, doctor, community leader, and so many more. We give thanks. God, we also are aware that this day may bring for some sorrow. And so we want to lift up to you those who long to be mothers and yet don't have children. To those mothers who are living with the loss of a child, God, we pray they experience your peace that passes understanding. We lift up those whose mothers have passed from their earthly lives, for whom this day may bring new rounds of grief. God, we lift to those whose relationships with their mothers are painful, and those who may have never known a mother. But God, above all, we give thanks for your love. We give thanks for your nurturing and mothering love that remains steadfast with us. And we pray that we may be beacons of that love and your hope to all those in the world. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we will finish our Easter sermon series, By the Love of God, this morning. And this has been an opportunity for us to explore together what it means to live into the good news of the resurrection that we celebrate together on Easter Sunday as we have gone through this Easter season in the church. And so today we will talk about how, by the love of God, we indeed have abundant life. And the scripture this morning will come from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 7 through 10. And before I read that to you, I want to share something about this scripture and how it has shaped and formed me in my life and in my spiritual journey. This is the scripture that changed my life. This is the scripture that taught me something I never knew about our God and salvation. You know, all through this series, I've talked to you about how salvation is not just what happens after we die, but that our Methodist understanding is that salvation is also now, It's about being saved not from something, but into God's love. And that's a now and a later kind of thing. And it was a sermon on this very scripture that first taught me that. I sat in a seat, much like you are today, except we were in a high school cafeteria. And I heard a preacher get up and preach on John 10:10 and abundant life and tell me for the first time that I had ever heard that salvation was not just a ticket to heaven after I died, but indeed that Jesus changes lives now. That all of the struggle and pain that I had endured, the challenges that came to me through my teenage years, could be redeemed and healed now. That abundant life in God's grace meant salvation was a current and present thing. And I sat in your seats and I was overwhelmed by the love of God. And just about 2 years later, the Holy Spirit called me to ordained ministry. And so when I have the privilege and opportunity to preach on this text, it's very personal to me because it was a turning point in my own faith journey. It was a place where God said something new to me. And I'm grateful for the pastor who was willing to preach that sermon. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to do that very thing this morning. So let us share together in the Gospel of John, beginning in verse 7. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." As we prepare to hear a message from that scripture this morning, I invite you to pray with me. Holy God, we give thanks this morning for your word. God, we pray that our hearts and minds might be open to hear what you have to say to each of us through it. God, I pray that our souls would be stirred up in new ways, that we might go out ready to share your hope in the world. I pray that these words would be your words, this message be a demonstration of your Spirit's power and nothing of my own. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So what do you know about sheep? That's a question I had to ask. John chapter 10 is all about sheep and shepherds and gates. What do you know about sheep? How many of you are shepherds? Are you really shepherds? Oh my goodness, how would I know? The barons are shepherds.
We are sheep farmers.
They know. Great, so they know about sheep. Well, the rest of us didn't know about sheep. And so I did a little reading to learn what this is about. Shepherds and sheep and gates. And here's what I learned. In Jesus's ancient time, there were many different shepherds. They might graze their flocks out during the day in different places, but at night they would gather them together in enclosures in order to keep them safe from weather or thieves or other wild animals that might want to prey upon them. And so multiple shepherds sometimes would bring their sheep into these enclosures that were accessed by one single gate that then one shepherd or other attendant could keep watch over during the night. And then in the morning, the other shepherds would return to the enclosure and they would call for their sheep. Now, sheep are not super self-sufficient animals. They need a lot of help. That's what the shepherds' jobs were. But they were very faithful. And they knew the voice of their shepherd. So when one shepherd came and called for his or her flock, then those sheep and only those sheep would follow. And so on and so forth, each shepherd calling their own. And so Jesus in John chapter 10 says that he is both our shepherd and the gate. We are the sheep. And so the question for us then is, whose voice are we following? Do we know the voice of our shepherd? Jesus is not the only one calling to us. That's what verse 10 tells us. That there are competing voices in our lives, in our world. And so the good shepherd calls, but so does the thief. And the word here that's translated thief means a, as it says in the lexicon, a sneaky or stealthy thief. This is not the thief who is just out in the open taking what he or she wants. This is the sneaky thief, the stealth thief. And Jesus says that that stealthy thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, this thief is really a gathering up of evil forces in the world, of the consequences of our own sin, of the consequences of other people's sin that rain down on us too. This is all gathered up in the thief, much like in the Old Testament we read about the Satan, Satan. And so the thief, all of this evil and sin gathered up, seeks to kill, to destroy, to steal. To steal is to sneak and get. To sneak in and take away. So what does it mean when Jesus says to us, the thief comes to steal from us? To steal our abundant life. Sneak in. Well, I think of those distractions that creep in and draw us away from our relationship with God or our relationship with one another in the church. Those things that say, no, I am really more important. You can put off reading scripture for another day. No need to pray this morning. You're in a hurry. It's okay. We don't have to come to worship every Sunday. These other things seem to be more important. You see, I think the thief sneaks in and distracts us from our relationship with God. Or maybe the thief seeks to steal your abundant life with a negative self-talk and with shame. You're not good enough anyway. I can't even believe you would think that God would love you or that the church would receive you after what you've done. How could you ever be forgiven? Do you know what Jesus did for you and this is all you have for God? Maybe the thief whispers in your ear like that, stealing away the abundant life offered in Christ. Jesus also says the thief seeks to kill. But this word is about not just killing, but killing on an altar as a sacrifice. How does the thief try to get us to sacrifice our abundant life? Is it when we put work or social identity above our identity in Christ? How many times, I know, have I sacrificed my faith at the altar of busyness or consumerism or wealth seeking? When that becomes my sole focus, any of those things, that's not abundant life. The thief is stealthy, and the thief creeps in and seeks to kill that abundant life, to sacrifice it on an altar of fill in your blank. The thief also, Jesus says, comes to destroy. And this word means to put out altogether, to completely eliminate and eradicate hope. And wouldn't the thief love nothing more than for us to respond to hate with hate, evil with evil, to grow in our resentment, to believe that the world is indeed hopeless? Wouldn't the thief love the pain of our grief when we lose those whom we love to overtake us, that we might grieve without hope? That's what the thief will sneak in and do to us, to steal, to kill, and to destroy the abundant life we are offered in Christ. And to think that, well, I have already found Jesus' voice, and I am following Jesus, and I know that my shepherd is leading me, so I don't have to worry about the thief anymore, would be a mistake for us. And the best way I can describe that to you is to share with you the story that happens just before Jesus gives us all of this in chapter 10, which is the story of the blind man that I shared just a couple of weeks ago, who did experience healing now, as Jesus took away the very thing that had kept him ostracized from his community, his blindness. As Jesus empowered him through giving him his sight to be able to go back into the community, to no longer be a beggar, to be received by those who had put him out because they perceived that his disability must somehow be linked to sin. But here's what the thief did. So this man is healed, and the Pharisees, the leaders and the religious leaders in the community, go and question him. And they ask him how he had received his sight. And he tells them all about how Jesus had given him instructions, and then he became able to see again. And that he believed that Jesus is a prophet. And it says, the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, is this your son who was born blind and now sees? And they said, yes, but we don't know how. Ask him, he's of age, he can tell you himself. It says that they were afraid, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. So here Jesus has given him the very thing that he needs to be reintegrated into the community. And now, because he shares that it was Jesus indeed who healed him, and that he believes that he is the Messiah, he shall be put out of the community again. See how the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy? But here's what happens. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered, and who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him. And the one you have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. And he said, Lord, I believe. And so then Jesus offers him new community among those who have called him Messiah. Jesus offers him abundant life that the thief will not get to steal or kill or destroy, because he has heard the voice of Jesus calling, and he has agreed to follow. Jesus is our faithful shepherd, and he says, also our gate. So Jesus is the one who calls us to lead us as the shepherd, and he is also the one through whom we get to the love of God. We get to the safety of what it means to live an abundant life, the gate. Jesus is both the shepherd and the gate. We have sang Reckless Love every Sunday of this sermon series. It's been our anchor song to talk about the love of God. And there's a line in that song that says, he leaves the 99. Jesus is our faithful shepherd. When one, even one, strays, he will go after that sheep and pursue us relentlessly until we follow his voice, because Jesus wants for us abundant life, free of the thief, Because Jesus says, no, you do not get to come and steal and kill and destroy the life I have given to them. By the grace of God, they will hear me and they will come. Jesus is our faithful shepherd and gate. And so how do we help ourselves recognize the voice of Jesus among all of the competing voices? Well, the end of the Gospel of John gives us a very clear picture of just how to do that. Chapter 20, verse 31 says this. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. These are written. These stories are gathered together. These letters now, later in the New Testament, gathered together so that we may come to believe, to hear the voice of Jesus. And so if we want to tune into that voice and drown out the competing voices, we get into our Bibles and we read scripture. We study it together. That leads us to hear the voice that calls to us. God also gifted us the church. We'll celebrate the day of Pentecost next week. And so in worship together as the body of Christ, we help tune in to the voice of Jesus that calls us. Gathering together on Sunday morning is important because it helps us tune in for the week. It grounds us so that we can hear the voice of our shepherd. And then fellowship of the body together. When we are in relationship with one another, we actually help to guide one another. It's hard to journey alone. I talked about that too this series. We journey together, side by side. And sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, say this thing to this person. And sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, say this thing to Pastor Courtney. The grace of God moves in and through us and among us so that we can tune in and hear Jesus over all of those other voices, leading us and guiding us into abundant life. Life that exceeds all of our expectations. Life that is even beyond what we can comprehend and understand. Life that is free, free of shame, free of hate, free of resentment, free of hopeless grief, free of unredeemed violence, abuse, and neglect. Life that is free in Christ, that grounds us so that when the thief comes, sneaking and stealthily whispering to us, I have come to steal and to kill and to destroy, we, Jesus' sheep, can say, I don't listen to you. I do not follow your voice. For I know that he has come, that I may have life and have it abundantly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30, either in our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in the bridge, which offers contemporary music in a relaxed, rejuvenating environment. For more information, visit our website at mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.